whole chapter. Each calendar day, Proverbs every day. Proverbs every day.
All right, let's do this. Proverbs 21. We are currently reading in the New Living Translation. The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer him sacrifices. Haughty eyes, a proud heart, and evil actions are all sin. I think this speaks to kind of it is an interesting thing to think of where we look as being as sinful. I think this is more of a, like a viewpoint kind of a thing. So it's like philosophical here, but it is an interesting thing. I mean, obviously like your literal heart would not be proud. It's your mindset and the things like that. So I think this is kind of that orientation, that attitude. But they're all, it's not just the evil actions that are sinful. It's your nature that is sinful. Go ahead and highlight that. Yeah. And we live in a society that is very much is obsessed with the idea that, you know, we are, I guess you could say defined by our actions, not our character, but God cares about both, but he does in fact care about our character. It's important. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Switching gears. It's a challenge sometimes. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And for those of you that are trying to run your own business like I am, that is really, really important. It's very easy for me to get distracted. For example, it's very easy to get where I'm not thinking things. I might be thinking ahead, but I'm not actually acting ahead. I'm acting in the moment. And so trying to kind of either shortcut things or take things that are not in the right order and hoping that that'll work out. And it doesn't. It's just all it's done is taking me away from the plan that I already had that was already leading to prosperity and getting into something that is a dead end. Like I would say 9 times out of 10 with me. Yet I somehow still do it. It's a fascinating aspect of being the Deej. Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. Let's see what the footnote is on that. As in the Greek version, Hebrew reads, mist for those who seek death. So, yeah. It's one of those, we hate that we have to say it, but it has to be said, right? It's sort of like the concept of we have laws for ridiculous things because it happened at some point and now we have to have a law because of it. That's kind of why we have these things in Proverbs that to us can seem kind of like, well, yeah, but they need to be said. They need to be put down and we need to teach them. Just because we think we know them doesn't mean that they're actually being taught in that way. So it's very important to be specific. The violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to do what is just. The guilty walk a crooked path. The innocent travel a straight road. And we've talked before about the whole concept of walking a path and how that relates to our character, not just our actions. I hope that is clear for people. And I was going to mention, by the way, we are here live, and I see that people are on, so feel free to, if you have any observations, since we're live today, feel free to put them into that comment section, and it should show up live here for us. So if you have any observations about verses, you can feel free to do that today. Usually we're pre-recording these days, and it's just a comment after the fact, and so you can actually go live today. It's a bonus. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. I just realized something, too. I need to... for those that hadn't caught it, there, I'll put that on the screen down below. So it's just, I just realized that people might be coming in and say, this is an act. So we'll just have that on the screen for people as they come in. Ugh, such a day. Enough said, right? Okay, maybe not enough said. So for me, this was something that actually needed to be reminded for me way back in the day, that I almost made some compromises, and it almost ended very badly for me, but fortunately, someone actually spoke this wisdom into my life, and I was able to make the better decision for both of us. I still think I was causing her to be quarrelsome. I was triggering things that were just, you know, it was bad for both of us. So anyway, verse 10, evil people desire evil, and their neighbors get no mercy from them. Sounds like just a great lifestyle to be living, right? Not. That's sarcasm for those who don't speak that natively. If you punish a mocker, the simple-minded become wise. If you instruct the wise, they will be all the wiser. Yeah, I think this is translated differently in some other translations, but same basic concept, that punishing someone that is a mocker or somebody that is, trying to discredit you or whatever, that seems intelligent. If they're punished, they can realize the error of their ways and therefore become a little bit wiser. I would also add that requires humility first. And so that's why they become wise. It's almost like they become more intelligent or more aware, but to become wise, that doesn't always work that way. Right. But the whole point is, if you instruct the wise, they'll be all the wiser. In other words, well, you know, I was actually, given some feedback this morning, and it's kind of one of those begrudging kind of things where I had this vision in my head about the way things should be in some of my coaching, and really I was, you know, I was getting some bad results, and so I went to a mentor with the John Maxwell team and laid out the challenge, and he was like, basically saying this: if you instruct the wise, they'll be all the wiser. And don't worry about the people that don't want to be with you. That was the challenge. Is when people don't actually want your instruction, when they don't want your, in my case, coaching, but they're being signed up for it anyway. And so this is a way to kind of reformulate that, to say, you know what, make that more exclusive, make that something where it's only for the people that want to be instructed. In other words, instruct the wise, and they'll be all the wiser. So actually, I really liked that admonition this morning. It was good correction. Verse 12, the righteous one knows what is going on in the homes of the wicked. He will bring disaster on them. Righteous one, righteous man. Is an interesting translation of that. I think, yeah, there's a set apartness to this as well. It's not just their actions. It's something about the way they conduct themselves. Yeah. Yeah. But I've also seen this, translated differently that this is, as in the capitalization here kind of indicates that there's I'll just say it. There are some that think this points to Jesus specifically, and I don't disagree with that. Let's put it that way. So the righteous man, the righteous one, I think that works, based on other translations as well. But it's just kind of, because it's not called out by name, you know, this particular translation is not making further leaps than it feels like it should, I guess, as far as its sources. And I respect that, you know, that's certainly fine. But it's this part that's always interesting, the heel bring disaster on them. So that's it makes things complicated with translation, to move things forward when there's, when we know the character of Jesus was not to bring disaster. So yeah, it's one of those complicated things, that's not always easy, to go through. But bottom line is that even if this was talking about a righteous person in general, or a righteous man in general, there would still be a discernment there. Now, whether he's now bringing disaster on them, I don't know about that. Is this also potentially a king that is involved here, in disaster, bringing disaster to the homes of the wicked? Yeah, there's always that potential. The entire book of Proverbs was pretty much almost exclusively for training up new kings, new leaders, that sort of thing. So it does have some possibility there. The reality is we don't know. I think the long and short of it is, hey, don't have a home that is wicked, and we don't have to worry about any of this. Sometimes it's the simple instructions, right? Verse 13, those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. And you know what? Let's go ahead and bring this up, because I did a couple months ago, and I feel I should again. I just feel led to bring this up. And when we delegate, when we say, hey, I pay my taxes, why isn't the government taking care of the poor? When we say, I give at the offering plate on Sundays, why isn't the church taking care of the poor? When we push that away, we are shutting our ears to the cry of the poor. Now, I'm not saying that we should stop doing that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God knows our hearts. God knows our attitudes about these things. If we are in that kind of attitude, instead of being compassionate at all times and watching for the guidance of God in these things, it'd be ignored in your own time of need. You know, so again, God knows the character, and it's not the actions. It's not the outward things here. That's for the world to see and likely judge. God knows our hearts. And so this is a reminder that you can say words until you're blue in the face. You can even do things out in the world that appear good. But it's really God that knows your heart on this. Okay. So I'm not the judge of you. I can't say whether you're doing is good or bad. I'm saying that God does, and you should be concerning yourself with that. And so this one we talked about a couple of let's see, sometime in last week, the secret gift calms anger, but a bribe under the table pacifies fury. So this is something that, it's a tool in the belt is basically what this is. It's kind of that whole, it's not instructive. It's not prescriptive. It's descriptive. There, that's the way they say that. It is not something where we say, you know, be ready for a bribe and, you know, slip that in. It's more of saying that this is something where it's a tool in the belt. Now the thing to note here is that it's a secret gift, and it's a gift, not an expectation of result. And a bribe is something that expects a result. And there's a little bit of a difference there, I think, but that could be just my interpretation of it. But anyway, so that kind of lends itself to it's kind of an opposite of what we read last week. So it's always. Always fun to have those distinctions, but verse 15, justice is a joy to the godly, but it terrifies evildoers. The person who strays from common sense will end up in the company of the dead. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. Again, it's that key. Is that attitude, that character in it? That's really the key here. So if you love these things, then it's, well, one, financially, it's difficult to get to that point. Not impossible, but you know, difficult that. But to truly be rich in self, it's hard when your love is kind of misplaced. When you are constantly distracted by other things. In other words, there's a sacrifice of the temporary now for a future result, that sort of thing. Yes. All right. So let's see. The wicked are punished in place of the godly, and traitors in the place of the honest. We get a two for today. It's better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get, which is kind of similar to the above, but I see that like I was saying, there's a putting off of gratification, and having an attitude of appropriateness. But fools spend whatever they get, and so the wise have wealth and luxury. And the implication here is it's because they set aside, you know, and sacrifice in the short term to become that. Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. Your pathway matters, in other words. Verse 22, the wise conquer the city of the strong and level the fortress in which they trust. Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Mockers are proud and haughty. They act with boundless arrogance. Actually, you know, something about this, my wife and I were talking about on our journey. it is fascinating that this is such a challenge. And it is, like I've said before, we are kind of in a training program to make sure we react. You know, somebody's, you know, click the like button and react to this and say, you know, if you didn't like it, you unreact, or you like not unreact. You say thumbs down or whatever, and you post an angry comment or whatever. We're trained to react and not to to think. And so there's a level of, on both sides, watching your tongue. And if you want to stay out of trouble, keep your mouth shut. In other words, I'm inviting trouble just by opening my mouth, and that's just appropriate because I feel called to do this. So here we are. But yeah, trouble may continue to come, probably will continue to come, actually. It's just the nature of this. 24, mockers are proud and haughty. They act with boundless arrogance. And this is just a way to determine what they are. You know, they're known by their fruits. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. A sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with the wrong motives. A false witness will be cut off, but a credible witness will be allowed to speak. Go back to that. I think the reason to highlight this, the godly love to give, it is a misnomer. The people that are wealthy, you know, hate giving. And it's probably largely true because of, you know, you encounter a few that are like that, and all of a sudden all of them become like that. But it's not your wealth that matters. It's the fact that you are seeking God and things. And if you are, then it doesn't matter how much you have. You love to give. And that's just a way you operate. And I will say that the wealthiest people that I know personally are way more generous than I even think they should be at times. Some of them are like dangerously generous. Because they just, their mindset is in a different place than mine. You know, frankly, they're more practiced at that. And so this is something that's a good reminder for me as well, that I need to not fear what I may not have in the future, that sort of thing. But yeah. Anyway, so that caught my attention. I had to go back to that. Let's go to verse 29. The wicked bluff their way through, but the virtuous think before they act. Yeah. No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. What did I write down earlier today? Sorry, I gotta grab my notebook here real quick. There's something on that. Oh yeah, it was plan the week, adjust daily. And when it comes to God, even more so, that we think we have these grandiose plans, and God laughs. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. We hear that a lot, and that's appropriate in both of those verses right there. So, yeah, great stuff.